Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Our last exhortation for the year, a Christmas Day one of that. This morning I'd like to talk about the man Moses toward the end of his life, and particularly to look at the aspect that Moses presents to us of looking back, but also of looking forward. And at the end of a year, it's often a good time to reflect on these things. And I want us to think from Deuteronomy 31, because that's where we'll be spending a little bit of our time this morning. And I'd like to think that, I'd like you to think about that Israel are now on the border to the Promised Land, and they're in the plains of Moab, and Moses has been recounting or retelling the law. And that's of course what Deuteronomy means. It's a retelling. He's telling the new generation the laws of God. But it also includes, I think, Moses' last personal message to Israel. So it's a personal thing that he's saying to them. He's delivered the words of God in the previous 31 chapters. Now he wants to leave them with some personal words of encouragement. And I think we'll see those in verse 3 to 6 of Deuteronomy 31. So these are Moses' words to the people. He says, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. The Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And so I think when Moses is speaking these words, he's taken God's law that he's just presented to the people. This is the second time he's done this. He's taken God's promises, very much a centre part of his word, and he's got his own faith and his personal belief in what God has spoken, and he's rolled them all together and he's given them this final message. He does go on to speak personally to Joshua in verse 7. He goes to speak to the elders and the priests in verse 9, but to the people this is Moses' last words in that sense. He teaches them a song, we know that later on, but this is the end for his message. And I think that's really, it's about how we speak, isn't it? Because when we talk about what we believe, we're taking God's laws, we're taking the promises we hold so dear, and we're rolling in our own faith and our personal belief, and we're presenting it to people and saying, this is the message. We can quote scripture, and of course that's very, very important, but often people want to hear what it is we have to say. And this is what Moses is doing here. And I want you to notice in verse 3 that Moses is instructing the people that God himself will cross over the flood waters of the Jordan and destroy the enemy, and you will possess the land. And also that Joshua, he too will go over the Jordan before you. And so I think what Moses is doing for the people, once again, he's identifying that there are two leaders in Israel. There's the leadership of God, and there's the leadership of Joshua. And they're both going before them, so Israel could possess the land. That was God's purpose. And these people, with God and Joshua, if you like, these two, I'll call them people, so you know what I mean, but they're going ahead of you. And I think both aspects of discipleship are displayed here. So two aspects of discipleship we need to think about. Firstly, faith. Faith that God is in the way. He's ahead of us. He's going before. He's preparing. And the other thing that we need very much part of ourselves, our discipleship, is this physical assurance. We need physical assurance. And Joshua, you know, he's also going before you as well. And I think for our own discipleship, we need both of those in our lives. Faith, absolutely essential. No question there. But at times, you know, faith, it's just not strong enough. sometimes it's my faith will let me down. You know, I'm not strong enough to go through and to cross over that Jordan and to face the problems that are there. And so God provided Joshua. And God provides people in our lives too, doesn't he, to help us. You know, tangible people that we can rub shoulders with. We could say, one of our own. He's from the tribe of Ephraim. I grew up with him. I know his family. Joshua, he's had experience. He's actually been down this road before. 38 years ago, he went the same way. Well, he went a different way, but he's gone to the land. He knows the problems that lie there, but he also knows that God is ahead of you as well. So Israel had the man Joshua. He was one of them. What of ourselves? Well, we have each other, don't we? We have God in front, and we know that to be true. But we have each other. Tangible encouragement. You might say, yeah, good one, Mark. You've given me Vic. You know, big help. But point being, sorry to use your name, Vic. But point being, people have been given to us, brothers and sisters have been given to us because we need to be able to see Jesus in them. All right? We know, in a sense, we know our brothers and sisters' environment. We know their circumstances. We rub shoulders with them. They're one of us, and we can identify. So Israel had that too in their lives. So let's look to one another to be encouraged. You know, we all make mistakes, there's no doubt there. But look for Jesus. Look for Jesus in each other. And in a sense, that's what Joshua is, isn't he? Joshua in the Old Testament, it's the same name, Jesus. Joshua led the people into the promised land. And of course, the Lord Jesus will lead us into the land. He's doing it now. So, there's the 2 points again, just to summarize. Moses encourages Israel to cross the Jordan into the land of promise. He asks them in verse 3 to do it in faith. God is going before you. And he encourages them to do it by sight. Joshua, a man like you, he's going before you as well. And now we move on to verse 4. In verse 4, Moses encourages the people to think back a year or so. Think how God had worked in overcoming 2 strong enemies. And he identifies them there. Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites. Think back, he says. Think how God did that. The same way he did that, he's going to do it again for you. And again, and again. He's going to keep doing it for you. So, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that Israel served. Think back. And I think verse 6 is the key. Moses says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Because you know how God has worked in the past, in your life, in my life, he's promised to do it again. He's promised to continue the same thing. Be strong. Don't fear. And I want you to notice halfway through verse 6 where God is positioned. Verse 6, halfway through, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. So Moses has said, the Lord, God, he's in front, he's going over before you. And then he says, don't fear, because God is with you. So there's a surrounding aspect of God. He's behind you. Think back a year. Think back 6 months. See what he did then. He's with you now, and he's going forward with you as well. Yes, the God in front leading, he's behind. Think back, and of course he's right alongside. And those are wonderful words of encouragement. Well, I want now to think about verse 2 of this chapter. And this is how Moses begins his address to the people. He says, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, you shall not go over this Jordan. I don't think he's saying it's his birthday then, but he's saying, right now, I'm an old man. I think that's the essence of what he's saying. And anyone's book, 120, is a good innings. And he knows his end is near. He knows that he's on the border of the land. He knows that God has said, you can't cross, Moses. He also knows very well that there are very few of his contemporaries left. In the last year, he'd lost his brother Aaron at 123. And Miriam at the start of the year, she's a bit older, we're not sure, 126 maybe. But personal tragedy for Moses, I'm sure. And maybe, as I say, they were the last of his contemporaries to die. He alone left, and knowing that he too could not cross over. But of course he's not bitter, and he's not twisted about it all. In effect, I think he's saying, look, I can't, but you can. I'll be there, but just not yet. Just not yet. I'll die, but God will certainly bring me here in the future. And I think this is verified when we come across to chapter 34. And now this is God telling us about Moses. Moses has died at the beginning of the chapter, and verse 7 is a recount by God. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's the King James. So God is saying, yes, Moses, he was an old man. He's 120. But his eye was not dim. He could clearly see what was laid out before him. God says, he's an old man. But his natural force or his natural vigour is still there. If you've got a King James, you'll see in the margin there, natural force, I've got Hebrew moisture. And it links in with a green tree. Moses was like a green tree. And God's eyes. He was strong and he was full of life. My Message Bible puts it this way. His eyesight was sharp, and he still walked with a spring in his step. And isn't it a nice way to think about the man Moses, an old man, but his eyesight was sharp, and he still walked with a spring in his step. And so Moses well knew, and he strongly believed in the Lord's promise. God will not fail you, nor forsake you. And it's interesting that when you come into the book of Joshua, similar things are repeated there. Well, our last quote is in Philippians. Because of course all of these things are written for us to be encouraged. And I think this is the Apostle Paul's encouragement for the Philippians and of course for us. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul is so thankful for the ecclesia, for the church of Philippi. I thank God, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 3. In verse 5, he's specific. I thank you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So throughout Paul's good times throughout his low time, throughout the lives of the brothers and sisters in Philippi, their good times, their low times. He was thankful for their fellowship in the gospel. And this covers the life of Paul from the time that he was first in Philippi, and he spent quite a bit of time, he spent time in jail in Philippi, a dark jail. And now when he's writing to the Philippians, he's in another jail in a sense. He's chained to a soldier in Rome. But to Paul, the Philippians were a source of comfort and a source of joy. And of course, his words to them in verse 6, we'd like all of us to receive them as ourselves as we come now to break bread. And Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.